Morning, church. I hope you have had an awesome weekend. It was a beautiful weekend. Weather was fantastic. I hope you got to enjoy that this weekend. You know, as a pastor, one of the benefits you get to do is I got to precede a wedding this last night, and it was outdoors. And sometimes you kind of dread the outdoors because it could be a million degrees and you're wearing a suit, and that's not fun. It was beautiful, and I was wearing a suit, and I will say I was comfortable, and I praise God for that, right? It was a beautiful ceremony. It's always fun to kind of do those things and be a part of those things and just see how God moves in couples to make them one and the excitement there part of it. And to realize, too, guess what? This is what we are called to be in a union with God. And understanding that commitment this morning is not just one way. It's not just God sending his son to us. There's a commitment from us to go to God and say, I am yours. And this morning, there's a word that I just feel overwhelmed by, and it's just the word yes this morning. May you live in the yes when it comes to you and God. No matter what he asks of you, may you live in the yes, right? And that brings me to Habakkuk. But before I get to Habakkuk, I got this wonderful gift. And I believe the ladies went shopping this weekend, and they came back with a gift. And it says on this coffee cup, Pastor, giant warning sign, anything you say or do could be used in a sermon. Absolutely true. Right, family? Amen. Right? They are great sermon topics. I enjoy it. Right? On the good side of it. Usually I'm on the bad side of it, okay? But that's how we roll. Last week we talked about Habakkuk and we talked about what it means to live in the waiting, right? And if you remember, maybe, we'll see if this works, maybe. Can we go to the next slide up there? Jackson's asleep. Got him. All right. Anyway, we talked last week about what it meant to wait and feeling the pressure around your world just crumbling, right? And going, God, when are you going to show up? And you have this, Habakkuk is a prophet. And usually prophets are given pronouncements of what God is planning to do. And this is not what happened for Habakkuk. In fact, the book of Habakkuk, the prophet Habakkuk, is more of a conversation that he is having with God and him going, God, why aren't you speaking? Why aren't you telling me what you want to do? Well, today we're going to talk about what it means to listen. And when God gives an answer and you go, why? Right? So God, if you read on, and this is all in Habakkuk 1, he tells Habakkuk that he's going to answer him. And his answer is something that Habakkuk did not want to hear. He's living in this area, and they are God's chosen people, and God's chosen people are doing things that are not what God wants out of them. And you have a prophet of God going, okay, so send your, you know, all the plagues, because they need to turn again. They need to hear you. They need to know you. And he's waiting for something to change within his culture that he lives and it be inspired by God. And he was not expecting this moment to be answered in this way. He's raising up the Babylonians. Now, this is like the people that you look out into this world and they're warmongers. They just want to come and all they see is the territory in front of them to take over. And they don't care who they trample. They don't care how they trample. They just trample. Right? And they are not godly people. And here's God's answer to Habakkuk. I'm going to rise them up, and I'm going to let them have you. What? That's not the answer I wanted. In fact, I want to read you his response. Next slide. You got to stay awake to this morning, man. All right? I got the thumbs up. He's there. All right. Habakkuk 1, 12 through 13 says this, Lord, you are not, are you not the everlasting? I could just stop it there because this is a question. Like he's questioning all his authority right here. My God, my Holy One, you will never die. You, Lord, have appointed them to execute judgment. You, my rock, have ordained them to punish. Like all this is not in the light of like, you've ordained them to do your will. Yes, I can't wait for them to come in. Like this is more of why? Why would you ever? Let's go on to the next one. Your eyes are too pure to look at on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? Pretty legit questions, right? And to be told that this is your message as a prophet, that this is your call, that you are going to be the voice, this would be like going, hey, listen, this morning, our biggest enemies, whoever you put in that name, right? God has given me the message this morning that they are going to come in and kind of, he's going to let them have charge of us. Take over. Whoever you consider to be the enemy of, like, let's say our nation, which probably, I think we could probably all agree, has kind of lost its way. Right? And God's answer is, we've been probably begging, I've heard it for years. I've been in ministry for over 25 years. I think right the beginning of my 25 years, and I'm guessing it has always been this way. Man, our nation needs a revival. Right? Have you heard those? Have you ever said that? Man, we need a revival. Right? We just need the Spirit to move. Hey, wasn't there a couple of years ago, there was a campus, Asbury campus, where a bunch of college students didn't leave a service for like weeks? I want you to know, God's Spirit has never stopped moving. He's waiting on us to answer the call. The hard thing is, I tend to wonder if we're willing to listen to the calling because it's not what we want to hear. I have often wondered why my wife has a cell phone. Anybody else? Not that my wife, yours, whoever in your life has a phone, right? Because she'll probably answer your call. Right? Or a text. Have you been left unread? Have you done the where the three dots just sit there? Like they've started the text, but they won't send it? You're like, just hit the send button. Just hit it. Does it frustrate you? No? I see a couple of no's. We are different then. I'm like, come on, I bought you this cell phone for a reason. Answer it. Use your text message just once, please. Right? I know what she does. She silences it, she puts it in her purse, and it's there until she gets home to play games. I'm not looking over here. All right? I think many of us have the same attitude when it comes to God that I have towards my wife and her cell phone. I think we want an answer right when we ask it. We want to see God move. We want to see the blessings that are bestowed upon God, upon us, and the people around us. We want to see our world change, right? I don't usually see people in waiting rooms with giant smiles. You go to a doctor's hospital and you sit in that waiting room and you're like, my appointment was at 10 and now it is 11. Did they forget me? And they're like, no. This is our process. And then you get back in the room, and you're like, okay, I'm about to meet him, all right. And then it's another hour. And you're like, man, I was having heart issues before I came. Right? My stress level. Right? And you don't want to mess with the doctor, because that just goes in your permanent file. Like, he's a pain in the rear. Notated. Oh, no. Right? So you just go along with it. It's improved it's so much compared to how it used to be. But you don't see people just enjoying the waiting process, right? You go to a restaurant. If I did a poll of, like, if you had a five-minute wait, who's all staying at a restaurant? Yeah, probably, right? We're good with 5 minutes. 10? 15? It depends on the restaurant. 20, I'm out. I'm out. We're going somewhere else, fast food tonight. I don't care. Right? Anybody else? Is 20 your limit? All right? Amen. We do not like to wait. And I want to reemphasize who we're speaking to this morning. We're not talking about a restaurant. We're not talking about a spouse's phone. We're not talking about those things. We're talking about God this morning. And God is not a genie in a bottle. He's not ready to be rubbed with my prayers and him pop out of a genie and go, okay, I'm here to answer all your wants and desires. Right? And this is where Habakkuk was. He wanted to see God's blessings on his people, to restore them, to make them new. And then he comes in with this message that I'm going to wipe them out. And I'm going to raise them back. It's not the message you want to give. It's not the message that you desire. It's not how we look at God and go, okay, let's go with it. And I want to kind of pinpoint this with our relationship with God, in understanding where we stand with God and how we need to learn to listen. I don't know about you, but I have always thought there's two different things when it comes to hearing versus listening. And I might have it backwards, but I feel like I can hear things, but I'm really not listening to things. Right? And when I listen, guess what? That has absorbed me, and I will answer back, or I will go, okay, this is what I'm going to do, depending on the person that is talking to me. Right? And if they have some sort of authority over me, I will do whatever my wife says. Right? But again, so this is the difference between us and God. And I think most of the time we put things out into the ether with God and go, God, please listen to me. And we'll hear his voice. But we're wanting to wait until we get what we really desire out of God in order to listen. Does that make sense? Are we catching it? Right? Because I think this is a desire within us as people, and even God's people in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament. And we're going to talk about some different avenues. I'm throwing a bunch of scripture at you this morning of what it looks like to listen to God. So the very first one is out of Psalms. Next slide. Not that one. All right. Psalms says this. Psalms 46:9-11 says this. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and the shelters and spares in the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will exalt among the nations. I will be exalted all the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is a bold understanding of what God is saying. When we listen with this fortitude, we know he's got everything. So before he even speaks, if he says it, guess what? We say yes to it. Even if it's not the answer we wanted, we know he's got it, right? All right, next one. Philippians 4:6 says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Do you guys enjoy peace? I was driving here this morning, and it was beautiful. The sun was starting to rise, and it is just beautiful drive in. And there was no anxiousness. There was no, because I was looking at the Creator and what He was designing that morning. To know that He's bigger than all the things in which that are going on in this world. To know that He's got all my issues and my mistakes, and He's going, I got you. You're part of my beautiful design that I'm making this morning. And I sit and understand, and when I listen to Him and I hear what He's got, I don't approach His plan for me with any anxiousness. I want to live in that. I want to understand. I think every one of us, we've talked about this. Guess what? You have a call from God. You have a ministry set before you. Even if you don't believe, I know God has already designed something for you in your life that He wants to show you His awesomeness. He wants to show you how you are made to be a part of this purpose. And when you figure that out, when you understand that, and when you step out into this moment of faith, and we go, okay, He's got me. I'm not going to be anxious. Can you imagine listening that way? In this moment with Habakkuk, going to the people that He's got this message, hey, guess what? God has said, He's going to give our enemies a hand up on us. We good with that? I get nervous about going to a board meeting and going, all right, we're going to change out the floor. How do you think? We did it. It looks nice, doesn't it? Man, sometimes we just don't have our focus on the right thing. We want life to be easy. And the only way it can really be easy is when we put our trust in understanding that God is bigger than everything else. And guess what? We can easily step out into that nothing and go, He's got me. He's got me. I can tread out into the deep of the water. He's got me. He's got me. Even when I start to sink, He's got me. Look at Peter. He got to see Jesus on the water walking towards him. He got to ask for it to come out there, right? And he saw the storms and what happened. He started to sink. Jesus just, what a disappointment. And walk away? Man, I wish we could have had somebody a little bit stronger. Who knows what we could have done with Peter? Too bad. No, he reached back down. He goes, oh, you little faith. I want that little faith. I want that, right? And in that moment, Peter, before he started to sink and saw the storms, he was at peace because those storms were there before Jesus started walking, and his focus was right there, right? Next slide. John 10, 27 through 28 says this, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Do you know God's voice? Because that's the other thing. When we're listening, I think we have so many different voices that we listen to. You might like the news. You might like a certain reporter. You might like some social media site. There are so many messages out there today. And they convey maybe something that is far from what God has desired for you. And this right here is a God that wants to take care of you. Wants to tend to your needs. Knows what's best for you. Do we know his voice? Do we listen to it? Do we obey it? Next one. Matthew 4:4 says this, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. I think we have a lot of starving Christians today. because they hear a lot of messages. They hear a lot of things. But they're not listening to what God's word is. And again, I'll tell you this morning, if you're banking on this morning to be the time that you get God's word and it's the only time that you're sitting at his table and this bread is being left out, and I want you to understand the bread of life is another word for what? God's scripture, his word, right? The bread of life. This is what he's talking about right here. Listen, he says you can't just live on just bread alone. You need God's word in your life to fill you up, to give you purpose, to give you understanding of why you're on this planet, to show you that he is the beginning. He is the end. What does John say in 1:1? Anybody know? In the beginning was the Word. And what I love about that, and some things, I've said this before, that word is capitalized for a reason. It's out of place capitalized, right? It is. Do you know what that word stands for? Jesus. Jesus was in the beginning. And I love that he's referenced as the Word, because guess what? He becomes the living embodiment of God's scripture. He comes, he fulfills the prophecies, he fulfills the word, and he lives it out. And what he's saying here in Matthew, you need me. You need me every day, not just Sunday, not just Wednesday, not just a Bible study. You need me to make it. You see, I think for us, a lot of us we hear God's voice, and maybe it's even faint because the noise is so loud around us that we have not taken the moment to sit in silence in his presence and just listen for him. You see, Habakkuk had to wait. He was frustrated that he had to wait. He wanted that answer right now. But I think within our own walk, there are many times that we have gone, God, just answer this. And he's going, wait. And then he says, okay, you ready to listen? See, this is the other thing. I think we have to be ready to hear what God is saying. When we put other things on that throne, when we're getting too busy, when we just think, man, life is just going and I can't stop, Jesus. I got to keep going. I'm not allowed to just be in this moment. You know what? The world is giving us that message. You know what God's message is? You know what today is supposed to be really, right? And you can debate with me what day it is you want to call the Sabbath, but you know what the Sabbath is meant to be? Is a time of just being in God's presence and absorbing all his love, absorbing all his spirit and going, refresh me, renew me. And we don't give that time to him. Instead, like the Jews during that time, like the Pharisees of that time, we just put more rules and understanding like, oh, okay, that means we can only take 332 steps that day and you better count every step, and if you got over that step, you've sinned. That is not the intention of God when it comes to the Sabbath. The intention is that you are refreshed and renewed and recharged and have the moment with God's Spirit dwelling in here to the moment and like, whoo! I am ready to face Monday. And not only am I ready to face Monday, I'm ready to be in the alone time on Monday with that same creator, that same one that loves me, the same one that sent his son to die for me from the very beginning. And I'm not only willing to hear it, but I'm willing to listen to it. So the coworker I'm ready to punch, I'm ready to love. The marriage that I'm ready to break up, I'm ready to go the extra mile and do whatever it takes. The forgiveness that I'm called to do, that I've held on for years and go, this is part of who I am. I'm a walking victim. I'm hate. Like, this is part of my identity. God wants that. He wants to free you from that. But I'm telling you right now, we have to be willing to listen to the message that he's wanting to put on your heart. You might have to wait. Because we talked about it last week, right? God is the God of one that goes right down to the middle, the little tiny details of these grains, but also is 10,000 feet and sees the biggest picture ever of how things get played out. That's our God. That's an amazing God, right? And so his answer has meaning and understanding that we will never truly understand till the moment we come face to face with him. And I want to be a servant. I want to be one that can say, you were a good and faithful servant. But in that, I have to lay down my life and listen to him. And whatever desire he wants out of me, I say yes. I say yes. You see, we live in a broken world. I feel like a broken record sometimes up there. Yeah, we live in a broken world. We live in a lost world. I want you to know that has not changed since I was a kid. That has not changed since my mom was a kid. That has not changed since my grandparents were kids. I've always grown up in a lost world. The desire is not to redeem this place. The desire is to redeem us to understand there's a kingdom beyond this place that he's called and waiting for us to be a part of. And guess what? You are an ambassador to that kingdom. But you have to listen. Is he your shepherd this morning? Are you bold about your faith? Do you have peace? Allow God to search those areas of your life. Are you bold? Are you at peace? Are you willing to say, I understand your voice. I get it. And if not, start evaluating those areas and slow down and listen. Put all those other things away. Go back to Habakkuk, would you? The very last one of Habakkuk. Not that one. Go forward. One more, one more. There we go. Whew. Paid help. Habakkuk 2:1 says this, and this is kind of Habakkuk's answer, right? He says, I will stand in at my watch in station, myself on ramparts. I will look to see what you will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Listen. This is what I love. God will listen to your complaints, but he wants you to be faithful. He wants you to listen to what his answer is. Are you willing to stand and wait and listen? And not just that, are you willing to say yes? That's my question for you today, church. What stands in the way of you saying yes to what God is calling? Maybe you need to listen. Stand with me. This week, there's a lot of noise in this world. There's a lot of distractions. There's a lot of things that we even get ourselves distracted by. I challenge you this week, slow down. Listen for God's voice. Be willing to say yes, even if the answer or the question or the desire or the passion that he's going to put there is not one in which you're like, that's the message. Be obedient. Be his sheep. Trust him. Be bold in your faith this week. Know that he's got you, and you have peace in that. Church, go with the word yes to God this week. You're dismissed.